Well, good afternoon, everyone. We do again give you a warm welcome to our hall and to hear the gospel. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from God's word, and they're found in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Really, just one sentence I want to drive home this afternoon because of its importance. Wherever your faith, wherever your background, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, in verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's so short, I'll read it again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. And just to focus on that one sentence, it was a bit of a change of plan. So really wanted to give you a simple message. Just wanted a message that wasn't elaborate. And it's just that one sentence, be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. What does that mean? What does be reconciled to God mean? What does reconciled mean? It means we are at odds with God. It means right now, if you are not in Christ, you're enemies with God. Our sin must be punished. And that's clear from the entirety of the Bible, from Genesis until Revelation. Every book says that our sin has to be punished. Sin itself must be punished. And there's no excuses for that. There's no excuses for you and I, because we're born in sin. We are condemned already, the Bible says. Not just because someone's told us a message. Not just because we've heard certain things. But we are condemned because of our sin. And we have to be reconciled. We have to be reconciled to God. We have to have a debt to be settled. We have to be brought back to God. That's what the idea is. We have to be reconciled to God. So how do we do that? How do we get back to the Lord God? If we are sinful and the Bible says that we can't please God in the flesh, we can't work our way into heaven. We can't please God by doing charity, by doing works, by coming along here, by even preaching, by telling people of the gospel. That is not how we are reconciled. We can't do it ourselves. I just want to flick back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or that word, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Sin, as I said, has to be punished. And Romans is clear about that. We've been going through that on a Sunday. Craig has been taking us through the book of Romans. In fact, one of those verses, I think, was preached upon, verse number 8, a few times in the last few months. Our sin must be punished. We are sinners. That's clear from Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We are without excuse that we've all sinned. So sin has to be punished. But the good news is, God punished the Lord Jesus Christ. Some claim that it wasn't through the cross. Some say God can't punish anyone. God's loving. God can't punish his son. And I tell you, that's not found in God's word. That we have to be reconciled to God through the death of his son, through the cross, through the death of his son. It's clear there. Therefore, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And then back into Isaiah, just want to make it clear that this is from God's word. Isaiah, and it's a well-known passage, chapter 53. I'm standing here before you and I can't really give you a well-crafted sermon. I can't really tell you what you need to hear. But God's word can. And that's why we read from the Bible, because God's word is living and it's powerful. And salvation is found within God's word. So Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. I think we go to this chapter quite often on a Sunday afternoon, or when we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, if you have any biblical knowledge, you'll know that Isaiah is not in the New Testament. That Christ did not come to the world during this time, probably about 700 years before Isaiah is writing this. But it's clear that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You might find other religions that say, no, it can't be. How can God suffer for us? How can God see the travail of his soul and be satisfied? How can God be pleased to bruise him, this servant, this man? Well, just over, I don't need to flip with me, but to 2 Peter towards the end, or 1 Peter towards the end of your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. For when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. It's something I just want to say to you, and I know you've heard it. I don't know where you stand before God. I know many of you will have confessed that you're saved, Christian, born again, but even if you've heard it your entire life, every Sunday, I just want to say again that salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through him dying. How? Our wrongdoing, as we stand before God as judge. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 speaks of that. That we all must stand before God, and the word there is a tribunal. It's a legal term. That God will look at our lives and see the wrongdoing, and it has to be punished. He has to, because he's a fair judge. He's just, he's holy. But on the cross, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ took our punishment, that we might have peace with God. I don't know what you think of Christianity. I don't know how you view the Christian faith. I don't know what you view these verses that we've read, if you were even listening to these verses, or if it meant anything to you, that we were enemies with God. And if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe that he died for my sin, if we believe he died for your sin, we can be at peace with God. We're enemies with God any longer. Jesus Christ died and rose again, not just, some might say, to form a religion. Not just because it was prophesied, as we've been reading centuries before. That wasn't the real reason the Lord Jesus Christ, that act of suffering and dying and rising again, was to reconcile us to God the Father. To reconcile, to make peace, to pay that debt that we owed. The word, be reconciled, be ye reconciled to God, is a command. And I think the last time I was here, I was speaking on, you must be born again. It's a command. These aren't just, well, if your family's Christian, maybe it's recommended reading the Bible. It's suggested that you should be a Christian. This is a command. Because salvation is only found in the Lord. You know, sometimes I think about these things. I think about how awesome God is. How mighty God is. Verse 11 of chapter 5, we're seeing, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This is not just us filling our Sunday afternoon, having a wee slot up here saying, well, he's practicing his public speaking skills. Well, he's just reading out a wee script here. It's something that he's conjured up. God is real, and God is terrifying. God is not something you can just, not someone you can just write off and say, well, I don't believe in him. Because that would be foolish. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God, because we look around, we see injustice, we see creation, all these things point towards God, and we have a Bible before us that speaks to us, saying that if we die in our sin, we will be punished in hell and tormented forever because of our sin. So what do? The Bible says, be reconciled to God. How? What does that mean? It means don't oppose God's favour. It means don't say, I'll put it off. If you reject God's mercy here and now, what will you have at the end of your life? God has offered this free gift of salvation, no cost to you and I, and we can't reject it. What must we do? I think we've said before, and we've said it so many times, that you and I don't have to do a single thing. There's nothing you and I can do for God, to please God, to be right with God. Verse 21, for he hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, for he, God, hath made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ was an offering for us. Jesus Christ became flesh, became human to die for us, that you and I, even though we're so vile, I know my heart, and it's disgusting. It's so black with sin, and you'll know yours. And if you're being honest with yourself, it's not very pretty. It's not something we can just gloss over as the world would want us to do. Even though we are enemies with God, and we oppose him, and in our sin we hate him, he loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus Christ knows our heart. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And he died that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The gospel message, this is what I'm saying, is not something that we earn. It's utterly grace. That word. In fact, I remember even Sunday school. I think those types of Christians like to make acronyms and sayings of everything. It was God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches, the righteousness, heaven, all the blessing. But what did that cost? It cost the perfect Son of God not just to suffer earthly sufferings beyond our comprehension. The Bible says those stripes in Isaiah chapter 53 weren't just the whip, the Roman flagon, or whatever the Latin word is, the whip that would scourge his back, look like a ploughed field. Those were not the stripes. The stripes were inflicted on his soul, his perfect soul, his soul that could do no wrong. Why? That we might be made, that we might be reconciled to God. If you're saying, well, it's not just for me. If you're saying, I don't know, there's so many Christians these days, there's some people that come along to churches, come along to gospel halls, come along wherever, and they say, I've tried it, it doesn't work. I can't seem to understand this. It's okay for you, and I'm pleased for you that you understand this. But me in my life, I just don't get it. Nothing's changed. I believe what you're saying, but it's just not made a difference. You're not reconciled to God. And the only thing I can suggest, the only thing the Bible commands you to do, is just to trust. And I've had conversations with people who are doubting in their minds and they don't know where to go because they've tried trusting for years. They try to fake it until they make it with Christianity and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Bible says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So how then are people trying and not getting it? I just want to ask, what are you holding on to? What in your life are you holding on to at the same time as trying to be a Christian, trying to get saved? Well, I want to be born again, like you're saying, but is there something holding you back? Because I'm not here to frighten you into becoming a Christian, but it is my responsibility as reading these words, reading God's holy word, to tell you that it's not enough. If you're not fully assured of your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should tremble. Tonight, you may die. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And if you say, that's okay for you. Well, what happens when you die? That moment you close your eyes in death, what will you say before a holy God who has seen all of your life and you can't make excuses? You can't say, well, I tried to live right. You're not reconciled. Well, I tried to follow the Bible. You're not reconciled. I tried to be a Christian. I did. I prayed a prayer. You're not reconciled. The Bible says, be reconciled to God. And if you think, well, if everyone else thinks I'm a Christian, I must be a Christian. If you trick yourself, you're still not reconciled to God. And you will hear the most awful words you could possibly hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Be reconciled to God. What does that mean? I don't know if I've just confused you for the last 15-20 minutes. I hope I've made it clear from God's word. I hope that these scriptures were clear in saying that you and I are so wrong. And we can't just fool ourselves or fool others into thinking we're correct. We can't. We have to be honest. We have to be sincere. And if that costs us our friends, our family, our future, our prospects, so be it. If you think of eternity and how long it goes on and on and on and the prospects are from God's word, either heaven of worshipping God or hell, the wrath of God. Those, my friends, are just the facts. Those are the destinations this afternoon. It can't wait till your deathbed. It can't wait until you're 80 years old and you've done all you wanted to do. It can't wait any longer. Be reconciled to God. Your faith has to be put in Him. Your reasonable, your evidence put in Him. Your trust put in Him. Saying that, well, Tom Gray, when I look in the mirror, I see my sin and say, I can't get to heaven for anything I do. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered and bled and died, and the wrath of God, all of the debt of sin, was placed on Him instead of me. That I trust that. And His perfect righteousness, His goodness, when God sees me, He sees Christ's righteousness. That we are made to the righteousness of God and Him and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see He sees the goodness of Christ, and we are not punished. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. We'll just bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. And Lord, we pray that Thy word, the scriptures, and Father, the truth therein, that there is salvation in none other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that each of the souls here this afternoon will be honest before Thee. Father, that eternity is not something to be mocked or something to be put off to another day. Father, when we stand before Thee, Father, let it be all those souls in here this afternoon would plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that they would be saved now and not just go along if they might have been going along. Father, that every soul listening would understand the importance of the gospel. Father, that we can have no hope outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if we are not reconciled to Thee, that we shall face hell forever, the lake of fire. O Lord, we pray that each heart bowed in Thy presence this afternoon would be sincere and serious about these things, searching their soul and weighing up the cost. For Father, it's not just a lifestyle. Father, it's not just a small decision. Father, Thy gospel demands complete surrender, complete consecration, complete worship of God. Father, we pray for the salvation of souls this afternoon. Father, not that we might glory in ourselves, but that Christ and the cross of Christ would be exalted once more, Lord. Father, we pray this and ask for Thy blessing as we part now. Father, we pray for the conversation of the saints and of the sinners this afternoon. Father, we pray that Christ would be honoured and that some soul might trust in what He has done for us, how undeserving and yet how loving Thou hast been towards us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.